Hello, I'm Niall Kahn, and this is the PPRO Podcast. Last year, we sat down with Ralph Ohlhausen, PPRO's Business Development Director, to discuss his work at the European Commission's API Evaluation Group. That group published a report of its suggestions late last year, and Ralph is back to explain it. You'll find the API Evaluations Group report in our footnotes. And now, my conversation with Ralph. Okay, so today I'm joined by Ralph Ohlhausen from PPRO. Ralph, what exactly do you do at PPRO? You joined us last year on the podcast, obviously, but remind us again.
I'm in charge of business development at PPRO. So that is looking into all opportunities, creating new business for us.
And you're also fairly involved in European regulations for financial technology, is that right?
That's right, because that creates a lot of those opportunities.
I thought today we could talk about the API Evaluation Group, which you're a part of, and which drew some conclusions at the end of last year. Is that right?
That's right, yeah.
All right, so first of all, just walk us through what were some of the results from the API Evaluation Group?
Okay, well, we have discussed for the best part of the year. It started in January, and the original deadline was actually June to come up with a conclusion and recommendations, but then in the end it took until November to do that. So by beginning of November we released a set of what's called recommended functionalities that the APIs in the PSD2 arena should support, and so what those should be.
Okay. Now, could you walk us through exactly what those results say? What should the groups be doing?
Well, it is a long list, actually. It is not repeating everything that an API should do, but it was focusing on the areas which were disputed, more or less. So you remember the group was all about having TPPs on one side, having banks or ASPSPs, as they are called, account servicing payment service providers, on the other side, and trying to agree on those functionalities which were, well, more difficult to agree on.
Okay. And now, a lot of the functionalities, there were some kind of conflicts between the different groups, because each group had their own priorities and what they envisioned the API being. Is that right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's understandable that from a bank's perspective, their interest is in providing an API that works, but also that is, well, not giving away anything that they don't have to give away. So, and from a TPP's perspective, of course, the interest is to have APIs which are as broad as possible, providing as much functionality as possible. So we started off the whole discussion in like 1 year ago, back in January last year, with a long wish list of functionalities coming from TPPs and what they would like to see supported by such APIs. And over the course of the year, the banks have managed to negotiate that down to the bare bone, basically getting trying to define, so what is it, the absolute minimum that they would have to provide in order to make the whole thing still work.
Okay, and so what exactly was the bare minimum?
Well, one must actually understand that the group was not about what banks have to do or not have to do. It was about finding out how good APIs look like, not what is the minimum basic API the banks have to provide. So this was going beyond, and it was linked to the fact, or actually to the provision in the RTS that banks...
Sorry, what is the RTS?
The RTS is the regulatory technical standards accompanying the PSD2, and the one, there are several ones, but the one that has been so heavily disputed is that on secure communication and strong customer authentication. And there it does say that the banks would have to provide a fallback to that API if the API doesn't work well or doesn't provide the functionality required. But it also says that banks could get an exemption from providing that fallback if the API is judged to a certain standard and their local regulator would grant them this exemption. So this API evaluation group was all about how good an API must look like in order to get that exemption. And also, this was a market group, there was no obligation in the end that the regulators would have to adopt this recommendation. But nevertheless, if all the parties sit around for a long time and discuss it all out and battle it all out over the month, of course, the expectation was that the regulators would also listen to this advice.
Now, a lot of the conflicts seem to come around
how the information sharing of customers is done. Is that right?
Yeah, well, what PSD2 allows is it enables the consumer to share their bank data, if they want so, with third-party providers offering them value-added service. For example, maybe getting a loan without too much hassle, just by having the entity providing that loan have a look at my bank account and see that I'm doing the right thing and I'm paying back whatever I had borrowed in the past, for example.
And as I understand it, there's three different ways that credential sharing could work. And this is redirect, embedded, and decoupled. Is that right?
Yeah, well, almost. The credential sharing has been one of the most heated discussed topics. And from a bank's perspective, they always wanted to avoid that credential sharing. And that is how and why their preference is the redirect flow, where the customer is redirected to the bank's website, entering their credentials there so that they are not shared.
And so what is the advantage of the banks doing that?
Well, it's I think they believe it's less risky if the credentials are not shared. But at the end of the day, the whole reason we came about creating PSD2 and adding all those strong customer authentication and making the TPPs licensed, supervised, etc., it was about securing the credential sharing. It was about making sure that that practice of credential sharing could be done in a secure way. So, which is why the TPP's view always has been that this embedded flow, where they take the customer credentials and then pass it on through the API to the bank, to would be preferential because it allows the fully automated flow. So the customer wouldn't have to do almost nothing for that payment. Whilst in a redirection flow, they get redirected, it looks maybe dodgy to the customer, they go from one website to the other, they have to wade through screens and say yes, 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 confirm the data is being populated, but nevertheless they have to click and see different screens. So it's a hassle, and compared with a payment, with a card payment, it's more complicated. So that's why the difference between the redirection and the embedded is that the redirection is maybe perceived less secure because no credential sharing, but it's a hassle. It's inconvenient, whereas the embedded flow, yes, it requires credential sharing, but in return, therefore, everything can be automated in the background and the customer has a very easy life.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but the consumer groups actually support redirect.
Well, they do support the redirect because they see and they focus very much on what that perceived security element, and they also focus very much on the vulnerable consumers. So they see themselves defending those being vulnerable in the whole thing. They're not really very much focusing on the younger people who actually want to do this. So they're focusing on the consumers not wanting open banking rather than those wanting open banking.
With the embedded function that the TPPs are fighting for, you have a chance for greater innovation with payments, right?
Well, you can more automate it. You have more options. You can automate it, and you're not. It allows new ways and new environments for paying, say for whatever your smartwatch or with a voice Alexa whatever payment. for all those more modern type payments, you could not redirect because it wouldn't work with a redirect.
Retailers are also part of this group as well, the API evaluation group. What do the retailers say about this? It seems to me that the retailers are pretty happy to accept any money they possibly can.
Yeah, right. But the retailers have been generally very supportive of the TPP's perspective, because the TPP's perspective is also the one that trying to make it easy as possible to the consumer. And that helps the retailers too, because that's what, therefore, on that question, redirect or not, they've always been on the TPP side, preferring an embedded flow rather than a redirect.
Because the customer then can't, it's harder for the customer to abandon their shopping cart or...
Yeah, and just because there's less interaction required, so the customer just has to do less, and therefore there is less distraction and a higher likelihood for conversion, yeah.
That makes sense. Okay. All right, so we've discussed a little bit about the different players involved in the API evaluation group, but what was the actual outcome of this group?
So the outcome is this list of, I think, 38 recommended functionalities. And the addressee of the outcome are the API initiatives. So those API standardization initiatives, which have been created in different countries, the most, well, the one already acting live is the Open Banking in the UK. But then there is a Berlin Group covering more countries. And then there are several national initiatives in a similar way, like STET in France, or there's a Polish API, there's a Slovakian API, there's a Czech API. And so the outcome here was addressed to those API initiatives, because the agreement around the API G table was that all those functionalities, all those recommended functionalities, should be implemented by those API initiatives. The differences between the TPP and the banks come in was an interpretation of which ones of those requirements would be legally required or would not be legally required, but there was agreement on that all of them should be implemented by the API initiatives. And unfortunately, that's still not the case. So we have been pushing those towards those and initiatives and hoping that they would start or rapidly start develop it. But it doesn't look like there is too much happening. So,
and why is that? Why is there stalling?
It's because the both the banks and the API initiatives, which are more or less initiated and paid for by the banks, say that those requirements which are not explicitly legally required are maybe nice to have for TPPs, but they do not really want to do it, or maybe at a later stage. But from a TPP's perspective, those are not nice to haves. I already said all the nice to haves are long gone. So what we ended up, these 38, is the bare bone of making it work. And to take any one away, we have a big problem. And so therefore, it is the minimum standard that these API initiatives should implement. Another question is whether the banks would then be obliged to use all that functionality, or the banks would be legally required only for a part of it. But that's the next bridge to cross.
What exactly do you mean by legally required or not legally required in regards to the banks and the TPPs?
Yeah, well, that is an important but also very difficult question. Remember that the APIG was not there to find out what is legally required or not. But there was the EBA observing, and the EBA being the European Banking Authority, so the European regulator, and having made statements about their opinion on the interpretation. And at the end, we had these requirements split into two parts. One, which says they are explicitly legally required, and others, which are not explicitly legally required. And so for the banks and their API initiatives, this means that maybe we don't have to provide them. But for the TPPs, that means they may not be explicitly legally required, but they still implicitly legally required, because if they were not implemented, we would have obstacles. We could not provide the services we are providing today, and therefore we could not use that API to keep that level. And therefore there would be, legal ground to continue with the current practice of screen scraping to get the data required for those services.
So how has this been resolved, or has it not been resolved?
It has not really been resolved. We had, following the API EG, there was a very high-level meeting in Brussels with called by the VP, Valdis Dombrovskis, in charge of the euro and basically everything finance in Europe, gathering all the TPPs and banks and other involved party stakeholders around the table to discuss these still differing views. And the conclusion was that there cannot be any degradation of services. So yes, the banks have to adopt. Yes, the TPPs have to adopt going forward, moving from the old practice of screen scraping towards using APIs, which are more efficient if they do what they're supposed to do. But no matter what happens, the last thing we can afford is that the consumer services are suffering.
So, right, because the entire point of PSD2 was open banking and making it better for the consumer.
Right, it was making it bigger and better, and not and not worse. So there is maybe also a difference between the countries in Europe, because some of the European countries did not really have much of those services in the past. So for them, it's all new. Like in the UK, it's open banking, it's opening up banking. Whilst in other countries like Nordics or Germany or Central Europe, some countries, we had these services for 10, 15 years. And now if we are facing a situation where those services would actually suffer, then people would see, well, this is not opening banking, this is closing banking.
Yeah. So what was the outcome of this meeting with the European Commission?
Well, there was in particular that agreement that there cannot be any degradation of services. So the APIs, the API initiatives should implement the full set of those recommended functionalities, which, by the way, as I mentioned, also the banks agreed that the API initiatives should do that,
right,
at least as part of the APIHA, because they said, okay, well, yes, it's good if these API have all that functionality. Another question is whether the banks would be then obliged to use it all or not.
And when do we find this out?
Time is running out. We are seeing new versions of those APIs have been released. There is probably another release coming for some of them between now and March, because March 14th is the date by which banks would have to offer those APIs in order to have a chance obtaining the exemption from that fallback. So there is that's why it's a big deadline there on the 14th of March, 6 months prior to the real deadline on 14th of September. And so between now and then, we are hoping to see new API versions coming out, which hopefully will include more of those recommended functionalities than what we have so far. Because in looking at the release paper, you will see color-coded and you will see a lot of red and amber in there, meaning that the API initiatives are not supporting big parts of those recommendations, unfortunately.
And you'll find that in the footnotes at the bottom of the podcast. So in a nutshell, how would you explain the current situation in the API?
Well, I think we have we've made a lot of progress in understanding what a good API looks like. So now I think it's back to the authorities to enforce that this is happening.
Ralph, thank you very much for joining me, and thank you again for explaining the API evaluation group.
Thank you, too.
Thanks for listening. If you're enjoying the PPRO podcast, make sure to subscribe and leave a review. And to stay up to date on all the latest from PPRO, follow @PPRO_group on Twitter and Instagram. Until next time.